Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to another dual broadcast of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast and the Everything Church-related podcast. That's right, folks. It's another dual broadcast, which means we have something special lined up for you today. On the line with us, we have Bishop Ken Giles and his wife, Pastor Sheila Giles, from the Lincoln Bible Church in the Houston, Texas area. Bishop has literally decades of ministry experience behind him, including working with the Tony Evans Organization while at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship Church, including serving as the Associate Executive Director of their nonprofit corporation. Amen. He served also as the Outreach Pastor at the Cathedral of Faith Baptist Church in his hometown of Beaumont, Texas, until planting his current church just outside the Houston area. He's the author of several books, and we're going to be talking about one of them in particular today, Prayer, Marriage, and the Leadership Roles of the Husband and Wife. Bishop, it is a pleasure to have you and your lovely wife, Sheila, on the program today.
Well, we're glad to be here, and just privileged to be able to share the Lord and His Word and His ways with His people.
Amen. I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules. I know you guys are on the hustle all the time, just to meet with us and discuss not just your book, but I want to talk about your ministry a little bit as well. And I always start with this question right off the bat. Tell us, who is Bishop Ken Giles?
Wow, that is a powerful question. Bishop Ken Giles is the husband of an awesome woman of God, the Lord's daughter, who He has entrusted to my care and stewardship as my wife, and
Amen.
The first pastor, Sheila Giles. And as his two children, we are pledged and committed to loving God, loving one another in holy matrimony, and being united in oneness concerning the vision, mission, and work that the Lord has given us. And we're delighted to do His will and to do His bidding as we serve the Lord. And we're fully committed to Him in that respect and regard.
Amen. And Pastor Sheila, tell us, who's Pastor Sheila Giles?
I am the grateful wife of Bishop Ken Giles, daughter of the Lord God Almighty, who loves Jesus Christ with all my heart and soul.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, Bishop, why did you write this book at this time? I mean, what was it that made you believe that this was the appropriate book for this time with everything going on in the world?
Well, that is an awesome question, and the answer is real simple. It's two reasons. Number one, the Lord gave me this word. I was sitting down preparing, getting ready to prepare to preach a message for Mother's Day in 2005. And before I even began, I normally go on my face before the Lord and just look forward to Him to speak to me and to give direction to me before I even began with any message preparation. And the Lord had never done that before, but this is what He said to me. Before I even began, He said, put this in a book. And it was so clear when He spoke that word, and it just literally blew me away, because I knew that God was getting ready to give me something that I'd never had before, that He had never entrusted to me before, and that had a weight that I'd never bore before. And so I was really taken back by it. But it caused me to, if you will, to really perk up in my spirit as far as listening to what God had to say, because I knew that it was tremendously significant and that He had given me the instruction to put it in the book. So that's the first reason why I did it. The second reason, now that that's been done and as God has revealed to us over time, is that the marriage is the foundational institution of all human society, coupled, yeah, of course, with the family. And Amen. As Tony Evans said years ago at a pastor's conference in Atlanta, when the family is broken, so is the church, the community, the city, county, state, mm-hmm, and the nation. Yeah. And we understand from what God has given us that the marriage precedes the family. And so when the marriage is broken, so is the family. And so, Amen, is the church, the community, the city, county, state, nation, and the world. And so for us, even though it would seem like a niche topic of sorts from a Christian perspective, we understand that this is the foundational institution for all of human society.
Yep.
And that's why we feel privileged and honored to be,
okay,
on the cusp, Amen, if you will,
yeah,
the cutting of what God is seeking to do to transform our society and our world.
Amen. Amen. Now, you wrote this book in an interesting format. I mean, you broke down the leadership role scripturally, but between the husband and the wife, and you wrote the part for the men, and your wife, Pastor Sheila, wrote the part for the women. Why that format?
It kind of went slightly different. Believe it or not,
oh, okay,
the Lord gave this to me, and then my wife blessed it, if so to speak.
Verify it for his accuracy.
There you go. So he gave this to me, and really the Lord used her to help to refine, if you will, this word that was before the mirror. And but the way that God had given it to us. When we first wrote the book, we did the part woman of God, secure your leadership position, because keep in mind, it was originally started out as a Mother's Day message.
Right, right.
And then after this got crafted, if you will, then there was a demand, then that there was a word going out to women that there needed to be one for the men. So there was a press.
Okay.
And so basically we simply thought about that, prayed about that, thought the Lord about that, and finally one day we just sat down and the Lord gave us the word regarding prayer and marriage going together, and the leadership responsibilities and accountability of the man. So we kind of coupled really three works into one. The part about prayer and marriage go together, and the leadership responsibility and accountability of man.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Of God, secure your leadership position. And then God gave us the ability to establish an inventory that helps to establish his order in the home to ensure his blessing in the marriage and in the family, and of course the generations that follow. And so really, okay, this book is three separate works, if you will, three, okay, separate parts been combined into one.
Amen. Now, why, again, do you think it's relevant for the day and time we live in today? Why is it, you know, so important to have the roles defined by as God defined them, and to remind everyone about that? Why is that important today?
Well, you know, I think, Pastor Thibodeau, the important thing is this. You know, someone once said that if you don't know where you come from, you won't know where you're going.
Right.
And we fundamentally find that to be true for all of human society. And so it's important for us to know our origin, and that indeed we come from God and not Adam.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
You know, so, and that means that the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who is from eternity past to eternity future, in no way is out of step. So we believe that as long as we stick to Holy Scripture as it relates to the God-ordained order of not only an individual's life, but of the marriage and of the family, we know that we will be in step with God. That means we're able to walk together with him. And God says that two cannot walk together unless they agree.
Amen.
And so it allows us to be in agreement with God, and it positions us for the peace and prosperity and blessings of God that is so much lacking in marriage and in family within not only society here within the United States, but throughout the world. And
Amen.
So that we're committed to with this message. And we believe that being in oneness with God will always be relevant.
Yeah, amen. Now, in your opinion, what is it that you reveal to your readers concerning the roles of the husband and the wife in this book?
Really, fundamentally, Pastor Thibodeau, we just simply stick with God's word, and we're able to detail out God's word. God just revealed some things to us in terms of, you know, just being able to extrapolate through proper exegesis of Scripture. Just for example, if you take Genesis, the second chapter, beginning with verses 15 through 18, where God places Adam in the garden, gives him the assignment, the task, the purpose, the vision of cultivating it and keeping it, and then secondly, giving him a command as it relates to not eating of the fruit. And then preceding that is then establishing the point of giving him a wife to help him carry out that that vision, to carry out that purpose, to carry out that assignment as he walks and lives his life in obedience to God. So therefore, it reveals to us through Scripture the woman's role from a leadership perspective is to come alongside and help the man be successful in carrying out God's vision, purpose for his life as he humbles himself in obedience to God, that he may have success and that they may have success in their marriage and in their family. Yeah. So just those kind of simple extractions and extrapolations of detail from Scripture through expository teaching is what we seek to reveal and just remove, if you will, the hidden aspects just beneath the veneer and the words of Pastor Tony Evans so that people can see and understand who God is and what he's up to, that they may be in keeping with his way.
Yeah, amen. You know, I love the book, and I got some questions that I want to just highlight as we don't have time to go through every chapter because we'd be here all day, but I'll just start with chapter one. I mean, chapter one starts off with something that just I got to highlight it because as soon as I read it, I had to highlight it. It says, chapter one starts off with lack of prayer invites sin into the marriage, and then you go on to say that the lack of prayer actually is an act of disobedience. Explain that to our listeners.
Okay. Well, we know that Proverbs 3, 5, and 16 instructs us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and to lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. So just from that basis alone, not to mention 1 Corinthians 5, 17 tells us to pray without ceasing. And so as Christians, as children of God, as the people of God, the creation of God, God has always purposed for us to be in connection with him and to never break or never lose connection, fellowship, communication, oneness, because that's the manner in which we receive instruction and the manner in which God orders our steps and the manner in which his word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so paramount for us as Christians to have a life of prayer. And when two become one, that's indeed what has happened. Two have become one. And so in the marriage, not only individually, but in the oneness of what God has placed together and put together in covenant, prayer is absolutely essential to stay in step with God and to have our steps ordered by the Lord. Otherwise, it's just inherently destined to be out of step with God and thus end up in disobedience to God.
Yeah, amen. Now, chapter 2, I love this one too. It says, lack of prayer covers up and hides the sin in marriage. Explain that.
Okay. Specifically, I'm going to kind of use the book itself so that we can get an excerpt from it.
All right.
It's in Genesis 3 and 7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, once there was sin, because that's the point at which Adam and Eve did this, was after the fall. After they had disobeyed God, they made a decision that instead of communicating with God, which is what prayer is, they made the decision to go and hide themselves.
Yeah.
So when an individual or couple or family makes the decision to fail to pray, 1 John 1 and 9 lets us know that if we confess our sin, that God is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have a responsibility to go before God, to live our lives open and uncovered, unhidden. And it's not like even if there's an attempt to hide it, that because there's nothing covered from God's sight. He's not only omniscient, but omnipresent.
Right.
So from that respect, the attempt to hide oneself or the failure to confess before God in prayer or to communicate with God, the fault, the error, the sin, literally leads into, if you will, an attempt to cover up or to hide. So
yeah.
Once again, prayer is extremely essential in every aspect in our relationship with God and in our relationship with each other, especially in the marriage.
Amen. Now, let's fast forward a little bit to chapter 5.
Okay.
And you explain how Eve must have had what you call a dominating spirit because she didn't line up with the vision and qualities that God gave to Adam. You know, I never thought of it in that light before, but you know, you see, you know, Eve, you know, Adam naturally rejected everything, saying, "Oh, this woman you gave me," and you know, and then she blamed it on the serpent. And as you said in your book, the only one who didn't try and pass the buck was Satan himself. Explain what you mean by having a dominating spirit to our listeners.
Well, it goes back to what I stated earlier regarding Genesis 2, verses 15 through 18. God gave Adam an assignment. He gave him a purpose. He gave him a command. And then he brought forth the woman. He said in verse 18, it was not good for Adam to be alone. And so therein comes the woman of God, the helper that is suitable, that is corresponding with Adam to be able to strengthen and encourage and enable him to do God's will. So the woman's leadership role is to, if you will, ensure that the man of God is functioning properly in his leadership role and that he has all of the resources needed and necessary at his disposal to accomplish God's will. In this particular case from Scripture, we see that Eve's decision didn't have anything to do with Adam or assisting or helping or enabling him to carry out God's will in his life. In effect, Eve was carrying out her own agenda, and it was a direct result of listening to the wrong voice. And one of the things we communicate from this aspect of the book is that there's only two voices in the earth, and that is God's voice and Satan's voice, because there's only two words in there, God's word and the word from Satan. It doesn't matter who's speaking either. It's evident what is God's word because it'll line up with Holy Scripture, and it's evident what is Satan's word because it'll always contradict or go against Scripture. Yeah. And this particular case, in the third chapter of Genesis, God had given Adam instruction. Satan comes along and speaks to Eve, and she acts on Satan's word. Because the word a person acts on, if you will, give them their perspective. God told them that the tree, they would surely die if they ate of the fruit. Satan told them she wouldn't die. So the verse 6 of that third chapter then says, and Eve saw the tree, that it was good for food and delightful to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. All of a sudden, the tree was everything other than what God said, because it's the perspective. And the dominating aspect of what took place is that she started carrying out a different vision, a different agenda. And not only did she carry out a different agenda, but she took it a step further by basically having Adam join her in the vision that she had and in the agenda that Satan indeed had given her. And so from that perspective, that operated in a dominating aspect to lead the man rather than have the man in his headship role, provide that headship in his God-given capacity with the woman of God at his side anchoring him to ensure that God's will was done.
Yeah, amen. Now, what are the key points that you would like your readers to obtain from reading this book?
The most important thing, or really three things that we would want readers to get from this. Number one, that we are created by God as human beings. And the institutions that we have the privilege of being a part of, marriage and family in particular, were created by God. And thus, there's no one but God who knows how they are to properly work.
Yeah.
And there's no one but God that, if they're broken, who can fix them. And that fixing is done through his word. So we want them to understand that what is God created can only be God repaired, God fixed. Okay.
Yeah, amen.
Number two, we want to emphasize in this book is the importance of prayer, being in step with God based on his plan, based on the institutions that he has established, and that they would have the order that he established them with and that he has purposed for them to have.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly and lastly, that by lining up with God and his word, carrying out life and marriage and family according to God's word and his order is what ushers in the peace, the prosperity and the blessing that God has not only purposed for the individual and the marriage, but for the family and the generation. If they can get that and be able to receive God's word, we know that God will get the glory and they will be greatly blessed.
Yeah.
And so will the generations and countless others.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor Sheila, you're not jumping in here. You're letting him do all the talking now.
Doing a great job.
As far as the women who will read this book, what key points were you wanting them to obtain from reading the book?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is that God's order ushers in God's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
To follow the word of God will direct us in the direction that we need to go, that will bring blessings, that will bring the peace. Many women are hurting in marriages, even in ministry. And what we have found through counseling is that it's a simple fix.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow to find out what that is that Pastor Sheila Giles is talking about, because we are all out of time for today. Oh, praise God. I hope you're getting a lot of information from this podcast interview. Bishop Giles and Sheila Giles, Pastor Sheila Giles, they're now broadcasters on our radio station beginning the 10th of August of 2018, and you know, it's just such a blessing and pleasure to be able to talk to them. They're very approachable, and I'm sure if you have any questions, they'd be more than happy to answer them for you. The contact information is included in the show notes. All right, until tomorrow, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.